الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأتباعه أجمعين أما بعد. We are studying the chapter relating to the ibadah and worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the Shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's a lengthy chapter. Inshallah, we will conclude it today in this short dars with the final hadith of this particular chapter. As was mentioned at the start of the chapter and at various intervals, although Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mainly focused upon the night time tahajjud and qiyam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this chapter the word ibadah, the muhaddithin remind us, is inclusive of the entire life and sunnah and seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to understand that the word abd in our deen, used in the context of deen, is the highest accolade anyone can ever be given. And it's a state of perfect subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every sense, outwardly and inwardly. And it's used in contexts of praise in the Quran. For example, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. The opening verses of Surah Bani Israel, ask yourself the question, surely the Mi'raj is a unique mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, isn't it? It wasn't given, this particular type of Mi'raj was not given to any other prophet. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ. Ibrahim alayhi salam was taken a tour of the heavens, but the Mi'raj and Isra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was unique. It was the highest accolade ever given to anybody. And according to some of the Sahaba, including senior ulama from the Sahaba, the likes of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Mi'raj. So in this context, this journey up into the heavens and sky, Allah is mentioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one particular attribute. Even as when we explore the Quran, we find various titles are used for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, various alqab, various awsaf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Often, an-nabi, the Prophet. And this in Arabic is loaded too, because the alif lam has so much meaning. There's a reverence here which we see in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have other alqab. Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, rasul, the messenger. And ya ayyuhal muzzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. And other names. Sirajan munira, da'in ilallahi bi'idhnihi, da'i, sirajan munira. There's a whole list of different alqab which are in the Quran for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet, none of them are used in the mention of this nighttime journey. The surah starts with the tasbih of Allah, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. And it mentions the Prophet ﷺ with this word, abdihi, abdihil khas, abdihil kamil, the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the abd, the perfect example of servitude and ibadah, Ubudiyya, Abdiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Kamil Abd. And others from the creation, other examples, other ibad from Allah's servants are the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But the level of Kamal that has been given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam exceeds all others. He is the perfect Abd. And so, to be under somebody and under their influence is normally considered to be derogatory. It's normally considered to be something which reduces a person's status, isn't it? Yes? But the difference is, when it's with Allah, then it's the opposite. To truly submit to Allah, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This mukalama and conversation is between Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah azza wa jal said, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, when his Rabb said to him, submit, he said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have submitted to Allah Rabbul Alameen. Yes? So this taslim and istislam, this submission to Allah, this takes a person up. The man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles themselves for Allah, Allah raises them and elevates them. So this elevation is found at its greatest within the creation, within the Anbiya alayhimus salam, because they are the most subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ibadah, this being the case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being Allah's kamil abd, his entire life from alif to ya, from A to Z, from beginning to end, in its totality, in every aspect, is a manifestation of ibadah. And so when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salah and is in qiyam and ruku and sujood and qu'ud, this is ibadah directly for Allah. But when he's doing something else and he's engaging with people, this is also ibadah, because he's doing it for the sake of Allah, on behalf of Allah, with Allah's direction and instruction. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the minbar, he's delivering a khutbah, this is ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving delegations in Masjid al-Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, and this is ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going out in expeditions fi sabilillah, this is ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with his family, this is ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, his sleep is ibadah too. There's no aspect which isn't, which is an exception. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is eating, this is ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cleaning his teeth with a siwak, this is ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is anointing himself with ointment, with perfume, this is an itr, this is ibadah. So everything is ibadah. And this must always be kept in focus. And so from that, the ahadith in this particular chapter focus on the salah in particular. And the chapter opened, remember, with a mention of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would exert himself so much in Allah's worship until his very feet would become swollen. And when it was said to him that you exert yourself so even as you are completely forgiven, Allah Ta'ala is not going to hold you to account for anything past and future. وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ مَا قَدْ تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. What would he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant? And so this closeness and special favor of Allah resulted in more not less of Allah's favor of exertion on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his ibadah. And so this last hadith, inshallah, we'll go through this inshallah, and this will bring to a conclusion this particular chapter. And then the next chapter is also about ibadah and worship, but it focuses on the day in particular.
وبه قال حدثنا محمد بن المثنى قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن أبي إسحاق قال سمعت عاصم بن ضمرة يقول
So the narrator says that I heard عاصم بن ضمرة saying
سألنا عليا عن صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
سألنا عليا كرم الله وجهه. We asked Ali كرم الله وجهه about the salah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin and son-in-law, and the fourth Khalifa from the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. You have two groups when it comes to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. One group which goes over the top and does a ghulu in terms of showing respect to Ali radiallahu anhu, to the extent that some people go so far as to say that he is equal to or greater than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some even worship Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And of course, this is not Islam, and this is not the teaching of Sayyid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or of the Sahaba, or of Ali karamallahu wajha himself. And the other group of the Khawarij is a group which is disrespectful to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And so they used to say words which were sawwadallahu wajha. When they mentioned Sayyidina Ali, they used to utter a curse relating to Sayyidina Ali. And so it became the shi'ar as a response from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah to say karramallahu wajha. Yes? May Allah honor him and honor his face in opposition to those who show disrespect to Sayyidina Ali. Remember, it's our duty and responsibility to defend ours, those that are ours. You would defend your parents, wouldn't you, against any oppression, right? And the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ are more to us than our parents. And so this is one of the adab and etiquettes of when you take the name of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, that you say karramallahu wajha. So the narrator says that Sayyidina Ali was asked this question. Minan nahar. Relating to, we asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about, we asked Ali karramallahu wajha about the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the daytime. The narrator says that Sayyidina Ali says,
إِنَّكُمْ لَا تُطِيقُونَ ذَلِكَ.
Indeed, you will not have the ability, the taqa, the strength and ability to do that. In other words, if your intention to ask is so that you can emulate the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be too much for you. Remember, there's a certain amount that Allah Azza wa Jal has made fard and wajib upon us. Yes? And then there's a stage beyond that. How much nafal ibadah? And so when it comes to nafal ibadah, then there's a level that we cannot reach. There's a certain level that we should attempt to reach. We should all have a share in nafal ibadah. If Allah grants you tawfiq, then one should do more than the fard hajj. And one should do umrah when one can. If Allah has given you the ability to, and you pay zakat, then one should also give sadaqah in addition to the zakat. If a person performs their fard fasts, then the sunnah and nafil fasts should be also observed when possible. Yes? Okay. Similarly, in our salah, we have our fard salah, that's the wajib, watr. In addition to this, the sunnah mu'akkada, the sunnah al-rawatib, the sunnahs which we perform before Fajr and before and after Dhuhr and after Maghrib and Isha, should be performed regularly. And in addition to this, we should all have some share within the nafil prayer. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has some khasais, some unique aspects. And we cannot imagine to ever emulate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not just about quality, that's not possible. We can't match the ibadah of the Sahaba in terms of quality. To give you an example from the hadith, one of the greatest acts of ibadah is sadaqah, mali ibadah. Yes? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسبوا أصحابي فإن أحدكم لو أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Don't criticize my Sahaba, because if one of you spends an equivalent amount in gold to the mountain of Uhud, it will not reach the mud or half mud of one of them. A mud is 3/4 of a liter. Small amount. Yes? Like a can of juice. Yes? It's a small amount. 3/4 of a liter. And a mud is not used to measure gold either. It's used to measure dates or barley. And so if a Sahabi gives a couple of handfuls of grain in the path of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, that will be heavier than a mountain of gold given by one of you with Iman and Ikhlas. Accepted sadaqah. So the Ikhlas and the Iman and the Yaqeen of the Sahaba is so superior to that of ours that as an Ummah we can't match that. And then within the Sahaba there are Maratib as well. So the Sabiqeen, Awwaleen, Muhajireen, they are superior to the others. There's ranks and status is within the Sahaba, but from within the Sahaba, the last of them is superior to the rest of the Ummah, and then the Prophet ﷺ is superior to them and us put together. We cannot equate one sajda of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the entire ummah's ibadah. So the quality aspect is obviously there, but the quantity aspect as well is on a daily basis, that mujahada and exertion to stand so long in prayer. We the other day in this chapter, we were going through the hadith in which the sahabi says that I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the night, and I joined him in prayer until a bad thought came to my mind. Remember the hadith? Yes? What was the context? The context was the Prophet's nighttime prayer became so long, Suratul Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, it went on and on, and the sahabi began to think, do I sit down now? Yes? Not to leave the Prophet, but just to sit down. But he didn't want to, because the Prophet was performing the prayer standing up. So the quantity of ibadah on a daily basis, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe wisal within his sawm, meaning he would fast continuously, meaning he would fast for days on end without iftar and without suhoor. Yes? So he's not eating and drinking during the day or the night, day one, day two, day three, and it would go on. And the Sahaba tried to emulate this, and the Prophet ﷺ stopped them. You're not like me. I am fed and given to drink by Allah. Now the ulama look at this statement and observe it in interesting ways. What kind of food was it? Was it some spiritual strength? Or was it food from Jannah? Even as the Prophet ﷺ, he would fast continuously, and he told the Sahaba not to do that. So we can see the Prophet ﷺ is a level. When I say a level, levels, yes? Yes? It's a completely different level altogether. It's not something that we can match. And so, Sayyidina Ali karamallahu wajha, when he's asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daytime worship, and this is when the Prophet is busy, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا, the night would be in tahajjud anyway, sections of the night. But in the daytime, even as the day, the details asked, asked about, Sayyidina Ali says, you won't be able to do this. The ulama say that there's a lesson in this verse as well. When seekers, salikin, and students ask a teacher, an elder, such a question, this kind of statement puts things into context as well. And it creates a certain thirst and energy. So someone asks you, a wadifa, a particular amal, what do you say to them? Do you give it to them just like that? Or do you keep them on their toes, tiptoes for a moment? You see? So if I tell you this, if I answer this $1 million question, then what will you do? Will you do amal on it? Does this make sense? Yes? Are you asking because you just want to have a conversation? Or do you really want to? So Sayyidina Ali is saying, you will not have the taqa, the quwwa, the strength and ability to do this. Gee. And so this is exciting. It's creating an excitement within the student. And this is a technique, an appropriate technique. We find Rasulullah ﷺ asking questions when he's teaching as well, as he is. The Prophet's conversations were education. He was a mu'allim. Ji. The narrator says this, as we said, whoever from us will have the quwwa, the taqa, the ability, will perform salah. Meaning, perhaps there'll be someone from among us who will make an effort and get the tawfiq to do that. And maybe there's others who won't. So it's like he's answering with a commitment, if you understand. Yes? Or Sayyidina Ali, tell us, and inshallah, some of us at least may be able to do that. Ji. So he says, when the sun was like this, from here as it is from here, at the time of Asr, he would perform two rakats. So Sayyidina Ali is pointing to the east and the west. Okay? And he's saying when the sun rose a little on this side, as it is like this on that side, the Prophet would perform two rakats. What is this referring to? Okay, to understand this, we need to understand when is Asr performed? Asr can be performed when the sun begins to decline towards the west, the western horizon, isn't it? Yeah, before it changes color, but it's still quite high above the horizon, isn't it? We can still read Asr. So if you look at it in the opposite direction, when the sun is rising from the east and it's cleared the horizon and it's not makruh time anymore, then it corresponds with the time when it's about to set on the other horizon. And this is what Sayyidina Ali is explaining. When that would happen, the Prophet would perform rak'atain. Which rak'ats are these? These are the rak'ats of Ishraq, as we know. Yes? Ishraq from Shirk. Ishraq means when? Wa ashraqatil ardu bi nuri rabbiha. Ishraq means when the earth is lit up with the light of the sun. Ji. And when the sun will be like this, as it is in its state from here, ji. At the time of Dhuhr. He would perform four. So this four, see now, if you follow the zenith, the highest point, when the sun is at the highest point in the sky. Okay? Yeah, in winter we have a lower sun, but in the summer, especially in the tropics, yes? Closer to the equator will be in the center. Okay? So when the 10 minutes which we refer to as zawal, it's actually when the sun is shifting from the zenith, you don't perform salah. It's makruh tahrimi, as it is when the sun's rising and setting. Yeah? Once it's shifted and dhuhr time starts, then you perform your four rakats before dhuhr, don't you? Yes? So before it's reached that highest point, at the other side, this is the late morning, you can also perform four rakats. This will be four rakats of salah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there's a discussion here, the fuqaha and the muhaddithun. So when the sun has cleared the horizon at ishraq time, this is known as ishraq as well, and then when the sun is preceding the zuhr time, it's late morning, then this is referred to as duha. The word duha is used for when the sun is properly out in the morning. This entire section, this chunk, yani from after the sun has cleared the horizon to a little before dhuhr, is a time for nafil salah. Now, is ishraq a separate salah and duha a separate salah? According to the fuqaha muhaddithun, it's not. You can perform nafil salah within all this time. But according to the ulama from the Sufiya and the Salikin, they say no. There's actually two separate salahs. Sheikh Zakaria rahimullah says, "Wal awjahu indi." The most correct opinion, according to me, is that you could divide the morning into two quarters, into two, meaning one quarter and then the other, I mean two halves, in other words. Yes? Right? With one section, the earlier section would be the ishraq, and the latter section would be the dhuha. But this whole time can be used for nafil prayer. By the way, maybe it's an area of our lives which we need to sort of focus on a little more. MashaAllah, with those who are associated with South Asia, yes? One of the things which perhaps we do regularly is perform our sunnahs, which we should. Yes? Right? But one of the things which we are weak in, perhaps, as a community, is nafil salah. You go to other parts of the Islamic world, people are more particular with the nafil salah. We should perform more nafil salah. Many people will come into the masjid and sit down, even though there's time and it's not makruh, and they won't perform tahiyyatul masjid. There's no tahiyyatul masjid during the fajr time. But other times of the day, during dhuhr time, preceding asr and preceding isha, if the masjid is empty, it's not makruh time, there's time to read. Two rakats should be read. It's something that people are not particular about, right? Similarly, the awwabin, and then of course the hajj prayer. The other area of nafil ibadah is nafil fasts. We find that people, mashallah, from the Arab community in particular, are particular about their Monday and Thursday or their ayyamul bidh, 13, 14, 15th of every month. And perhaps that's an area where in our community, perhaps a lot of people don't regularly keep these fasts. So there's an area of nafil ibadah which, shall we say, we ought to sort of explore. And everyone has their own personal circumstances. Yes? But there should be something, inshallah. Yes? So this morning section is also a time for nafil prayer. Ji. وَيُصَلِّي قَبْلَ الظُّهْرِ أَرْبَعًا. And here we come. So the Prophet would perform four before dhuhr, meaning the duha time that we were referring to. Ji. And after it, two rakats. Repeat that section. وَيُصَلِّي قَبْلَ الظُّهْرِ. Yeah, no, this is referring to the four sunnahs of dhuhr, the sunnah rawatib. Yes? The Prophet would perform four rakats before dhuhr and two after it. Ji. And four before asr. He would separate between every two rakats with the salam, with sending salam upon the malaika al-muqarrabin and upon the anbiya and whoever has followed them from the believers and from the Muslims. Now, which salam is this? Is this Durud Sharif? No. The ulama say this is referring to the at-tahiyyat, which you recite in every two rakats, isn't it? When you say at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu, As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's after this? Everybody? You know it, so prove that you know it. Go on, what's after As-salamu alayka ayyuhal nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? Wa ala ibadillah? Salih, there you have it. So when you say Assalamu alayna, when you say Assalamu alayka, your Nabi, this is Salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Assalamu alayna, Salam upon us wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon Allah's pious servants. This includes all of the Anbiya. It actually includes all of the Anbiya. And it includes all of the Malaika. Ibadun amthalukum. The angels of Allah, in their huge numbers, they fill the heavens. There are so many angels in the heavens that we learn from the hadith that the heavens actually are weighted. أطت السماء وحقت لها أن طأت. You know, when you have a person who's, shall we say, mashallah, quite heavy, climbing the stairs, what do you hear? You hear a creak, don't you? So the heavens also creak because they are filled with angels. Seven heavens. How many angels are there? There isn't a space of four fingers in which there's not one of the malaika, a malak, in qiyam, qu'ud, or sujood, in ibadah. The heavens are full. There's a house of Allah in the heavens called Al-Baytul Ma'mur, and it's directly above the Kaaba, in the seventh heaven. If it were to fall, it'd land on the roof of the Kaaba. 70,000 angels do tawaf of Al-Baytul Ma'mur, it's the qibla of the angels, every day. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَعُودُ. Then their turn never returns till the day of Qiyamah. So how many angels will there be? So all of them, when you say Salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, you're including all of the Anbiya and the Sahaba and the Salaf Salihin and all of the pious people who are in this dunya and all of those who have passed away. Yes? And all of the angels. And so this is what's being referred to, that the Prophet would send Salam upon the Malaika al-Muqarrabin and the Mu'mineen and Muslimin. Yes? Who follow them. Ji. Okay, and that brings us to the conclusion of this hadith and this chapter. And the next chapter is devoted to Salatul Duha, which is the late morning ibadah and worship and nafal prayer. Inshallah, we will study this chapter in the next dars. In the meantime, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to understand what we've learned, to remember it, to act on it, and to forgive our shortcomings. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem.